would be intimidated by saying, well, how do I mentor somebody?
Mm.
But the way this works really makes it simple.
Yeah.
You watch the online video or a DVD together, or read the chapter together, either way.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a list of talking points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, discuss such and such, or, you know, say the memory verse together, or, you know, talk about what we did last week. How's that working out in your life?
Yeah.
Just in kind of talking points, any Christian that, one, cares about another person, wants to help them,
mm-hmm.
and is growing in Christ themselves and taking seriously being a disciple themselves, they can do this. They
yeah.
can be a mentor, because basically how to do it is taken care of in the curriculum, and you just spend some time with a person, follow what it says, watch the video together, and hey, you could do this.
You've taken a lot of the mystery out of it,
yeah.
A lot of the fear factor out of it,
right?
And a person can just pick this up by faith, and everything that we do as Christians has to be by faith anyway.
That's right.
And without faith, it's sin, and so we just step out, and we're going to do it. And we're going to begin. You can't win a race unless you begin the race. And I think what you're doing is trying to encourage people to begin the race, so to speak. Get into the walk. You can't finish a walk unless you begin the walk. And we Christians need to be discipling others, and we need to be doing it every single week, don't we?
I believe that.
And when we do that, when we commit ourselves, if you can imagine, it is said that there are a good 30 million professing, Bible-believing, evangelical Christians in America. Let's assume that that is true. If that be true, can you imagine the power in changing our country, in restoring hope in our country, in building and returning and restoring righteousness in our country, if each one of those was discipling one other by faith in the next 12 weeks?
Yeah. It's one by one, a huge army of people,
mm-hmm.
loving and caring and discipling.
Yeah. A few years ago, Ralph, I wrote a book called Renewing the Soul of America, One Person at a Time, beginning with you. And we've got to get away from this program-itis thinking that we're going to solve these problems in big, glorified kind of organizational events. It's not going to happen that way. That's not how Jesus did it. That's not how he calls us to do it. And I have full confidence in the Jesus method, and in the Holy Spirit to watch over His Word to perform it, if we will just step out by faith to do it.
That's right. And it's an adventure.
It is.
Yeah.
Take
you
a moment and
Jesus
pray for
and
us.
And then bring somebody along with you.
Ralph, take a moment and pray for us for some courage and faith to step out and do it.
Yeah. Father, I thank you for each person listening today. I pray that you would speak to their hearts, that you'd encourage them. Some of them are discouraged, Lord, and don't really know how to do something, and I pray that you would encourage them and help them mm-hmm. to take steps of faith. I pray, O Lord, that you would reach some of these folks who have just become a Christian and help them learn how to walk with you.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that you'd take the listeners who want to be ministers and put in their heart to help somebody else that they know about. Bless them today, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I agree with that. Ralph, one more time, give us that website, will you please?
JesusWalk.com/beginning.
All right, JesusWalk.com/beginning. And we make available his book, Jesus Walk, Beginning the Journey, Discipleship and Spiritual Formation. Your gift of $11 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands, plus $4 postage and handling. And also the two DVD series, $50. It goes hand in hand with the book, Jesus Walk, Beginning the Journey. And we want to help you to help others, preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Whatever happened to trust and obey? I wonder if that has anything to do with discipleship. Well, Again, thank you for joining us. A big thank you to Ralph Wilson for his labors on behalf of the body of Christ. And I want to urge you to become a partner with us, because day after day we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Remember, the just shall walk by faith.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck.
Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Professor Donald Light, who's a professor, I believe, at Stanford. And he's written a book sharing his concern about what's happening with the pharmaceutical industry and what is really happening as far as the proprietary drugs that are being prescribed across America. Professor Light, thank you so very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Well, why don't you just give our listeners just a little of the background and why you bothered to write a book on this subject. Is this a major problem in America? Does it deal with the health of the people?
Yeah. Serious adverse drug reactions are now estimated by researchers as the fifth leading cause of death behind stroke, and the cause of about 1.5 million hospitalizations a year. So we're talking about an epidemic, really, caused by the very drugs we take to get better.
And of course, certainly as a physician, why, I'm sure that doctors certainly want to do what's best for their patients. Never met a doctor who didn't, but the problem is that the average doctor is so busy, he doesn't have all the information on all these wonderful new drugs that are coming out, whether it be for hypertension or anti-inflammatory or... And basically, I dare say, I know when I was a physician, I never read the package inserts, and having had some personal experiences since I quit practicing medicine and actually taking the time to read the package inserts, they were frightening when I read them, and certainly on some of the instances, I just didn't take the medications. But why don't you sort of go over some of the things that you see as a real issue and why this is so much of a problem? I mean, the fifth largest killer behind a stroke, that is a rather frightening thing to contemplate.
Yeah. Well, first let me clarify that I'm not trained in medicine or pharmacy or the sciences. I'm a sociologist who's studying the industry as an economic sociologist, and I'm just a visiting professor at Stanford. My anchor position is at the University of Medicine in Dentistry, New Jersey. So what I've been doing is, for myself and for colleagues and readers and listeners, looking into the various claims by the industry about why prices have to be so high and how wonderful new drugs are. You just mentioned wonderful new drugs. And in fact, most drugs are not wonderful at all. Independent review organizations around the world all come to the conclusion that only about one out of every six new drugs has significant therapeutic advantage over existing drugs. And five-sixths, or about 85% of all new drugs, have fewer or any advantages. So the rhetoric and marketing and lobbying is around life-saving drugs and breakthrough drugs and wonderful new drugs. But in fact, there are very few advantages for most drugs to offset their risks. And then we have the companies testing those drugs. And naturally, they design the tests to maximize the chances that their drugs will be approved. my new book, The Risks of Prescription Drugs, that's just come out with Columbia University Press, together with some other colleagues, identifies a number of ways in which clinical trials run by companies are designed to achieve exactly what you and I would do if we were vice president of research of a company.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. All right, you go right ahead, please.
Well, they do just what you and I would do. I mean, there's a massive conflict of interest. We would design trials to make drugs, to have drugs come out looking superior in efficacy and safe. Clinical trials are not designed to test for safety. They're designed to test a specific way in which they're effective. And so there's an underreporting of adverse side effects. And then they select the healthiest, least complicated patients, who are often not like the patients who actually take the drugs, to minimize evidence of adverse side effects. So that means when a drug is approved as, quote, safe and effective, it's only effective, more effective than placebo or a sugar pill. And the amount of safety evidence is pretty thin, and that's widely admitted by the FDA, and sort of everybody in the industry agrees that we don't know that much about how safe new drugs are when they're approved.
Well, one of the things that bothers me is then, of course, they are released on the public, and then, of course, they're supposed to get adverse reports, you know, and then if they find out that there are problems with the drug after it's been released and millions of people have taken it, and we find that they really sometimes can be lethal, as certainly we've seen with certain drugs like Vioxx, then they have to be recalled. But, of course, they've done immeasurable harm at that time. So
yeah.
Aren't they really, in many respects, using the American people as guinea pigs as they release these new drugs to see what's really going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is they're not really released. They're approved so that they can then be massively marketed. So it's not just releasing them, but actively promoting them. And Vioxx is a good example because we have a detailed summary of the marketing materials that Congressman Waxman subpoenaed from Merck about the marketing of Vioxx, and they show phase by phase how each time there was evidence that Vioxx had a substantial risk of causing heart attack, stroke, and sudden death, the company mounted an ever larger campaign to say that wasn't true, to emphasize how safe Vioxx was, even though we know that they also knew about the high adverse side effects and deaths from Vioxx. It's been published in several places.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Professor Donald Light. We're talking about the adverse effects of many of the pharmaceutical drugs, and Professor Light was just talking about the Vioxx. It was released by Merck, and of course, as it was released, why there were reports people having heart attacks and strokes taking that, and as it became increasingly obvious that there were really adverse effects related to Vioxx, and of course, this was known within the FDA. There was a doctor, first name escapes me, but Dr. Graham had actually was in charge of making sure this was safe, and he said it wasn't safe, and the FDA did everything at all to prevent him from bringing that information out, because what people don't understand is the pharmaceutical industry provides a great deal of money to the FDA because the FDA is, of course, approving the drugs, and of course this is to allay the finances stresses on the FDA. But the difficulty is, when the drug companies are putting up money, why you sort of wonder how impartial the FDA is. Well, anyway, it was a long story, but eventually Dr. Graham did actually get articles published about this, and he worked for the FDA, and yet he was pointing out that they figured at least 60,000 people would die because of this drug. And that, I think, is one of the best examples of this whole issue you're talking about, isn't it, Professor Light?
Yes, it is. And the book, The Risks of Prescription Drugs, has a chapter on the evolution of the FDA and the way it increased its review and standards sort of phase by phase around drug disasters, and by the 1960s was finally requiring the current standards that companies must show before a drug is approved that it's safe and efficacious. But as I was pointing out, they have tremendous latitude in how they test their own drugs, and as you pointed out, since the mid-90s, they've increasingly been funding the FDA, while before it was independently funded. This works to the disadvantage of American patients who want and expect an independent public review body that they can trust and that isn't doesn't have problems of its own internal biases. David Graham is one of the senior officers overseeing drug safety at the FDA, and he is, as you pointed out, been repeatedly frustrated or kept from publishing studies that he's done about other drugs that he thinks are unsafe. And the most recent one is Avandia. So Avandia has been in the press for the last month and a half, and David Graham has once again been very concerned about the possible deaths caused by Avandia. He estimates that about 47,000 people have died unnecessarily from Avandia since 1999. Other people dispute his estimates, but it's another example of his trying to protect people from unsafe drugs and being frustrated.
And, of course, the difficulty is when you have a hierarchy. I mean, he is subservient to the people above him, and in many instances we know that if you read, in fact, we have posted on my website under letters why we have, I just included all of David Graham's, Dr. Graham's testimony before the Senate subcommittee on that issue. So anybody can go to my website, readyliberty.com, and read Dr. Graham's testimony. And here was a drug he knew was unsafe, and yet, of course, everything was done to silence him so he could not warn the American people. Otherwise, an awful lot more people would have died. But fortunately, the drug was recalled. And now Avandia apparently has been outlawed over in Europe, but it's still allowed here in America for difficult cases. Is that pretty much your understanding?
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is that once, even though it may be restricted in its use formally, there are all kinds of ways in which companies can continue to market the drug for a wide range of uses. So one thing that the book, The Risks of Prescription Drugs, identifies is what I call the risk proliferation syndrome, which is a set of institutional practices that maximize the number of Americans who are exposed to adverse side effects. And those can come into play even with restrictions on Avandia. So one of the main ones is retaining leading clinicians and clinical researchers by companies to study and to talk about other uses and to give seminars, grand rounds, workshops, continuing medical education talks, which allow the companies to go around the regulation that prohibits them from marketing for other uses. But if the recommendations are being made by clinicians who are paid, then it's legal, and so that's the way they circumvent restrictions.
Well, you know, Sydney, when I went into medicine, it was truly a noble profession. I was motivated by wanting to help people, and I think most of the people in my medical school class, most of the people in the University of California where I turned, where I studied, I mean, my professors, their goal was to help people. But a lot of things seem to have changed since that time. And basically, of course, there's a lot of money to be made. Now, the reason I'm firmly convinced that so many of these medicines are developed, many times they're really no better than the pre-existing one, but the patent's going out on the old medicine.
That's right.
And so now they've got to come up with a new medicine, maybe exactly the same thing, no better at all, but now it's going to be marketed. They can get people to buy this. It's much more expensive than the generic which it develops.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've seen this sort of thing, haven't you?
Yes, and there's Our book, The Risks of Prescription Drugs, has a number of recommendations at the end. And one really simple one is to buy the way my mother taught me to buy, and that is to buy for value. You don't pay more for something unless it's better. But routinely, insurance companies and Medicare and Medicaid pay much higher prices to the companies for new drugs that are that are repeatedly shown to be little or no better. And so that just provides a strong incentive for companies to develop more drugs that are just minor variations on existing drugs.
And, you know, when you're paying for the medicine yourself, you're going to be concerned about it. When somebody else is paying for the drugs, why bother to be concerned? And that's just human nature. And I fear that this is one of the big problems with our Medicare system. And really, it's not designed, of course, to save money for the government. It's designed, I believe, to pay off the pharmaceutical industry. I think they're tremendous incest here between many times government agencies and pharmaceuticals. Is that a factor, do you think?
Oh, yes, certainly. And another of the recommendations in the book, The Risk of Prescription Drugs, is to change the benchmark for approving a new drug from being better than a placebo or an inert substance to, in the old days, the English used chalk, and now often it's a sugar pill, to approving only drugs that really are clinically better. So I think most people think that drugs that are approved as effective and safe are better than existing drugs. But in fact, that's not the benchmark. They are better than a placebo. And so by actually approving drugs that do what we want them to do, we also could strongly encourage companies to focus on real innovations, so that the wonderful new drugs really are wonderful new drugs and not just supposedly wonderful new drugs.
Well, the thing that really bothers me is that it may be better than a placebo, but how much better a placebo? Certainly one of the largest marketed anti-cholesterol drugs, basically they say, 30%, it will save your heart, you will not die, 30% reduction in heart attacks and strokes. And see, that's really pretty good. If you 30%, I guess it's worthwhile putting out all that money to take this anti-cholesterol drug, this statin drug. But the trouble is, if you read the brochure, what they're talking about is the difference between three people out of 100 dying and two people out of 100 dying. That's 1% difference between the placebo and this drug. And yet, of course, why they tell us it's 30%, because the difference between 3 and 2 is 30%. That's just not honest,
right.
And they're allowing the drug companies to do that.
Yeah, well, that's right. Whenever anyone talks about percentages, you need to ask what's in the denominator and percentage of what compared to what, because percentages are always misleading, like the example you just gave, which is a very good example. So a 30% reduction from a small number to an even smaller number doesn't amount to very much. In the case of the high cholesterol theory of heart disease, this raises another issue that about half of our little book, which is only $15, it's a very inexpensive book, The Risk of Prescription Drugs, goes into, which is how companies have developed whole disease models around substitute measures for clinical improvement. They're known as surrogate endpoints, surrogate meaning substitute measures. So in a good example is high cholesterol. It's turning out that lowering cholesterol and taking statins has very little benefit for heart disease overtaking nothing for people who are not already at risk. So for people who are already at risk, statins are quite helpful. That's called secondary prevention for people who have diabetes, heart disease, or a family history. But for primary prevention, for people like me who have high cholesterol but otherwise are healthy, the evidence has emerged with increasing clarity that statins don't help at all.
And yet, of course, the pharmaceutical companies are pushing doctors to do this. They want to start giving this to our children, you know.
Give
it to them in school, you know. We want to prevent heart disease. And ladies and gentlemen, it's all a lie. We'll be back in just a moment here with Professor Donald Light, who will be talking about the prescription drugs. All right, you go right ahead. I think that's a beautiful example.
Well, another example given in the book, The Risks of Prescription Drugs, is the serotonin theory of depression that was also developed by a company.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Are actually on the payroll of the drug company and wants to have the drug marketed. can they be impartial? And I would like to suggest it is no way you can be impartial when you're getting a large sum of money from a drug company and then come forward and say this drug is no good at all. And this is one of the big problems we have. I know I go to medical meetings all the time, and they'll bring in speakers to push a specific type of drug, but he's being employed by the drug company, and he gets up there and gives us a wonderful presentation, but always sort of slants the conclusion like, you really want to try this wonderful new drug. Sometimes he'll mention that he's employed by the drug company, but of course there may be other financial arrangements there. We don't understand them, but I think we always have to be really suspicious, and it's unfortunate, but the spirit of medicine that motivated us 50 years ago when we went into medicine, almost 60 years ago now, I graduated, 1952 from medical school. But that spirit of medicine, I don't think exists to the same degree. America has changed and changed dramatically. Yeah. And I think this is one of the things you're pointing out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think one of the important things for listeners to realize is that most doctors who have received favors from drug companies are not employed by them and are not receiving substantial cash, but rather much smaller things. But studies have shown that small gifts are equally effective. So if you're given a fountain pen and it has the name of a drug on it, every time you pick up the pen, you see the name, and there's kind of an automatic association. So then when you're prescribing for a patient with the condition that the drug on the pen is appropriate for, you're likely to write that down. Or if you have a little post-it that has the logo of a new drug that's actually a little better than existing drugs, and that every time you write a post-it you see that name, it just triggers an association in your mind. And there have been some really good articles written by drug reps that what they really sell is friendship. They're really good at making friends and keeping friends with all kinds of people. And so it's the association with a really friendly rep who has a budget to spend on you if you need it, and remembers that your daughter last time you met was about to be in a little child's ballet, and asks how it went. And it's kind of the perfect friendly person that also has an important impact. And a final key one is free samples. So free samples are left only of the new high markup drugs. And the free samples are a gift from the company to the doctor. Then the doctor takes the free samples and turns that into a gift to the patient. So it's a double gift relationship. And it seems like an act of generosity, but it's actually the starting of a patient on a more expensive drug that 85% of the time is little or no better than existing drugs.
And I'm sure that is absolutely true, and I look back on my years of practice and all the free samples, and after all, wasn't it nice if we did have samples we could give to our patients, never stopping and thinking that this was certainly not the effort by the drug company to help our patients. It was to get the patient to buy their more expensive products.
Yeah.
And when you realize, of course, if you begin to study this, that most of the new products are no better than the old products, and sometimes they're not anywhere as new or as good, and sometimes they'll have many, many more side effects. I mean, certainly to start using a new drug, I think, is a terrible mistake. I think you want to wait till it's been around for 5 or 10 years and make sure there are no complications. I'm sure many of the doctors who prescribed Vioxx and similar drugs or other ones of Andia that have done immeasurable harm.
Mm-hmm. One of the standard recommendations by experienced clinicians who specialize in this area is, don't take a drug that is any newer than 5 or 6 years, unless you have to. Now, there are patients who have serious conditions. They've already tried several other things, and they really need to try the newest drug. But in most cases, they can take a drug that's been around longer so that people can know more about their side effects.
And I think that's really such a, well, I wish I was still practicing medicine in some ways, in fact, but the way things are going, I'm very glad that I'm not practicing medicine today, especially with the way things are going from the point of view of government interference in the healthcare delivery system. Well, I said, my guest is Professor Donald Light. We're talking about his book, The Risk of Prescription Drugs. Is going to be out here in just a few weeks from Columbia University Press, and, we'll be back in just a moment here with Professor Light.
While the storm clouds gather all across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Dr. Stan, I guess it's Professor Donald Light, and we're just talking about the risk of prescription drugs. And certainly, this is a very real problem for the average person out there, because certainly they do what their doctor tells them. And the doctor, I'm sure, would not intentionally want to hurt them, but certainly they've got all these new sample drugs there. This is supposedly the greatest new drug, maybe just exactly like the one that just went off patent, but it's got a new name, and maybe it's got a new methyl added somewhere along the structure of the molecule, but a new methyl group may do or may not do any good, but now they can repatent that, and so people take them. One of the things that really bothers me is the television advertising, and certainly we've got this wonderful new drug, ask your doctor if whatever it is appropriate for you, and then they have this girl, a very attractive person, smiling and talking to somebody. So you're watching what's going on as they talk about all the complications, convulsion, heart attack, stroke, death, Ask your doctor if this is proper for you. After hearing they list all of these complications, why you wonder why anybody would want to take them, but they didn't hear what was said. All they saw was what was up on the television screen. I think this is a very dangerous thing to try to get the patients to get their doctor to prescribe medications which he may not even be aware of.
Yes. Well, I think often doctors are aware of them, but it's the television ads can be misleading. So, for example, I tend to watch the evening news where there are a lot of drug ads, and one of them is for bone loss. And the actress who is featured talks about bone loss, and I take a look at her, and she doesn't look like she's lost any bones. What she really means is bone mass loss.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Professor Donald Light, and he's a visiting professor at Stanford, but he's certainly... He's written a book called The Risk of Prescription Drugs. It's going to be out in a few weeks at Columbia University Press, and we were fortunate to have Dr. Light here with us. Do you have a website or anything of that sort you'd like to put out?
Well, the best website is Columbia University Press, and then that will lead you to their website, and then you can type in risks of prescription drugs in the search box, and you'll then come to the page. And you can order it from there. And if people order it now, it'll be sent out. Now there are copies available now to be shipped out from the press. I don't have my own website.
All right, fine. Well, of course, we were talking there during the break about certainly the situation as far as the television ads. And you were commenting that you see these television ads for bone loss, you know, and a woman comes on and she's been taking whatever this new medication is for bone loss, and she's got a big smile, and it's really very, very convincing. Would you like to pick up the story on that?
Well, the friends of mine who are physicians and trained in pharmacology say that those drugs do improve bone loss, but at a very, very slow pace and very, very little, and they have to be taken for a long time to show much of any effect at all, and much more relevant in terms of reducing bone breaks from brittle bones bones that are getting older, are things like making your kitchen and bathroom safer, doing various exercises that improve your balance, eating good foods for natural bone strength, and not taking drugs. Another one that I think is particularly kind of pernicious is the ad for a leading statin, where the actor says, you know, well, I had a heart attack, and if only I'd known, but now I trust myself to the statin, and maybe you can be smarter than I am and prevent what happened to me by taking the statin. Now, what that does is it confounds primary prevention with secondary prevention. So, in fact, the evidence is increasingly clear that had he taken the statin, or had anyone taken the statin, it would not reduce his chances of getting a heart attack. But now that he has one, it does reduce the chances of his having a second heart attack. So he's, you know, confounding the two different situations and making the viewer think, well, if I take the statin, I can avoid a heart attack, when that's not the situation he's in. So that strikes me as a particularly clever script that somebody's written.
But you see, it's all a matter of manipulating the minds of the people.
Yeah.
You know, certainly, they are so expert at, you know, making us believe something that isn't true because they want to sell a product, and that's the real danger of television advertising. Far better, you know, to have it put your trust in the doctor than in the people who are going to make a great deal of money by marketing these products. And many of these really are dangerous, and certainly these are drugs for preventing bone loss. They block the osteoclast, and these are the the bone cells that absorb bone. And but of course, a lot of these times, people will get osteonecrosis of the jaw, and they'll lose a lot of bone in the jaw with these things. So none of these things are without complications. In fact, most pharmaceutical drugs do have side effects. And the question is, was it more beneficial? What's the risk-benefit ratio? And that is the thing that I don't think people ask about. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Well, there are some points that you're making that are explain why every other country prohibits direct-to-consumer advertising, except the United States and New Zealand. And they were prohibited in the U.S. until the late 90s. And in fact, prescription drugs originated as a way by which the medical profession could separate over-the-counter drugs that are advertised in newspapers and magazines and are like candy or any other consumer good that's marketed, and serious drugs that would only be marketed to physicians and prescribed by them. Now that distinction has been broken down, and we now have the situation in the United States where millions of people go to the doctor, kind of like a waiter, you know. So you say, I like a Tanqueray martini. Not too dissimilar from saying what kind of brand of drug you'd like to have, and have the doctor order it up.
Well, one of the things that bothers me is that I think that sometimes the pharmaceutical industry creates new disease and disease classifications for, anxiety, as some sort of anxiety. They'll tell you, we got this wonderful drug for this type of anxiety. And of course, these are not real entities. They simply made these entities, and this drug is for that specific entity. And really, it's all a marketing scam. Yeah. But certainly, nobody comes out against them, and nobody points out. Certainly, the major television industry isn't going to do that. They're making a lot of money off these ads. What are they going to advertise now? They certainly can't advertise tobacco. We don't advertise tobacco anymore, and certainly so. They have to have a source of income. The pharmaceutical industry, of course, makes a lot of money. They have a lot of money to spend on advertising, and so they're really targeting our people with, I think, many times false, misleading advertisements.
Yeah. By the way, that gets back to the high prices that we pay for drugs that are little better than existing drugs. When we pay those high prices, we give them a large gross profit over their manufacturing costs that they then can use to fund mass marketing of drugs that are little better. So value pricing is also a way of reducing the heavy marketing of drugs that are little better than existing drugs. For example, when the Germans reviewed Lipitor, they decided it was about 6 or 7% better than existing statins. And indeed, there's considerable evidence that that's the case. So they said, well, since it's a few percent better, we'll pay you a few percent more than we pay generic statins. And the manufacturer, went ballistic over that. But they're saying, there's the evidence. I mean, why should we pay more for something that's only a tiny bit better? And when you do that, then of course you're there's no incentive to then spend billions of dollars massively marketing a drug that's only being priced according to its value. We have a chapter on depression and anxiety by one of the leading authorities in this little $15 book, The Risks of Prescription Drugs, and about the ways in which sadness, loss, the normal anxieties of active life, of looking for jobs, and other kinds of situations are being medicalized and then capitalized on by companies to get people to take drugs whose effectiveness is really questionable. So I think that's a especially good chapter in the book. Another one is on hormone replacement therapy, and it's a particularly striking story. So back in the 70s, this sort of synthetic theory arose that menopause really was a kind of deterioration of women's bodies. They were sort of falling apart, and they were more susceptible to disease and to cancer and heart disease. It's really a striking story for any woman who has a grain of feminist sensibility to her, and then saying, we have a solution, and that's HRT, hormone replacement therapy, and it will restore your vitality and health, and you don't need to be falling apart just because you've been through menopause. And it wasn't until the Women's Health Initiative persuaded the National Institutes of Health to conduct a massive long-term independently funded trial, that it was discovered that these drugs actually do more harm than good. And yet they weren't taken off the market, and while sales dropped, there are still several million women taking hormone replacement therapy today, and I wonder if they're aware of the authoritative studies that were done on the cumulative risks of severe outcomes from taking HRT that outweigh the benefits.
Now you're speaking of risks like heart attack, stroke, things of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You see, the average person doesn't really, of course, read the scientific literature. In fact, not a lot of doctors don't read the scientific literature. Certainly you're not going to find the average orthopedist reading information on hormone replacement therapy. Really, as a physician, you get your information by reading your specialty of medical journals, by the that attractive, detailed person who comes to your office. Mm-hmm. You go to a medical meeting, and certainly the but remember, the medical meetings are in large part financed by the pharmaceutical industry, and they're going to slant the way that things ever are. And certainly, as far as the medical journals are concerned, I mean, who are the large advertisers in the medical journals?
Yeah.
Why, the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
Now, nobody's going to certainly whop off the nose of the people who are providing them the money for them. It's just is not the way the world really works today, unfortunately.
Well, some of the leading medical journals require that any advertising be relevant to the practice of medicine. And I thought, well, maybe they should reverse that, where any advertising in the magazine should not be related to the practice of medicine. And then they would have ads, you know, for nice cars and vacations and other kinds of things that might be attractive and interesting to doctors, great clothes, perfumes, sort of like ads in the New Yorker, and no ads about a practice of medicine. Because by having that rule that ads have to be relevant to the practice of medicine, they're really inviting the commercialization of medicine.
I think that I've never thought of that before, but you're absolutely right. And this is the worst thing that could ever happen to medicine, with the idea that we would commercialize, that doctors would no longer be a profession, it would be a business, we would have competition.
Yeah.
I mean, when I went into medical practice, a doctor could not advertise. It was unethical to advertise.
Right.
Well, now, of course, doctors advertise, you know, and we do a better job than anybody else, and come to us, and we'll give you new eyes, or we'll do all these various things. And what we've done is really demeaned medicine. It's no longer a profession, it's a business. And I prefer to think of it as a profession, a proud profession. Maybe someday it'll get back to that, although I'm not sure it'll happen during my lifetime.
No.
Well, what are some of the other things that in your book that you certainly...
Well, I think we've covered a good deal of it. We've covered many of the elements of the risk proliferation syndrome that maximizes the number of people exposed. Well, I think one thing to point out is that there are far more minor adverse drug reactions. So it's estimated there are about 46 million adverse reactions a year, and then a tiny percent of those are serious, but most of them are mild from a medical point of view. But these mild reactions from a medical point of view can really compromise judgment and lead to other kinds of harms. So if a drug makes you lightheaded or sleepy or gives you, abdominal pain or something like that, these can be distracting and lead people to misjudge situations and have accidents and get into other kinds of problems, even though medically they're minor.
Well, I think that, of course, every medication has some pharmacological effect on the body, and certainly everybody's going to be different. We're all going to react differently to medication. Some people can take medication without any difficulty, and some people will get horrible reactions to them, or they'll get certainly a decrease in their white count or all these other things.
Yeah.
So because they are pharmacologically active, we have to be really constantly monitoring, and it's so hard to be sure that even a medicine like aspirin is safe. I mean, many people actually get gastric hemorrhaging from them. Probably the largest cause of gastric hemorrhage today is the anti-inflammatory medication, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. So we have to take everything in moderation, and it's so easy, you know, well, if it's good, you know, it takes away my pain, I'm just going to take it on a daily basis without realizing the potential complications until you start vomiting up blood. I mean, this is or passing black stools.
There's an awful lot to what you say. You clearly have impressive knowledge about how these things work, and it's really great to have you as the person interviewing me.
Well, after 50 years, 60 years as a doctor, I learned a little something, and medicine is a wonderful and noble profession, and I will always be grateful for having had the opportunity to practice medicine during the years that I did, and certainly it was a wonderful adventure, and really, of course, what a unique opportunity to be able to help people. I, of course, as an orthopedic surgeon, one of my friends said, orthopedics is fun. I mean, it's something we enjoy every day. Every day is an adventure. Sure, not only that, we get paid for it. I mean, and it really was true. I mean, it was fun. You could help people. You could repair their arms, their legs. You could give them a better back so that they could be productive again. What a wonderful privilege it is to have a job like that.
Mm. Well, one of the recommendations that's made in the risks of prescription drugs is to relieve pharmaceutical companies of some of the risk and cost that they have to bear in funding clinical trials and have publicly funded trials. And that would mean they wouldn't have to charge so much or be at such great risk for their stock going up or down by 10% when a trial either works out very well or doesn't work out well. But it would also enable us to have independently designed trials that are not designed to sort of maximize evidence of efficacy and minimize evidence of harm, but to be objective and to, for example, measure and document all adverse reactions. So it would improve the quality of medicines, lower their costs, and also relieve companies from bearing so much cost and risk themselves. I think we're asking companies in a way to do too much of what is really societal need to have safe and effective drugs.
And of course, there's certain medicines really not coming out with the great discoveries they have in the past. Certainly antibiotics just changed the practice of medicine. And there have been a few other medicines that have really had a dramatic improvement, but so many of those today simply are just a rehash of the old medicines, and they simply are re-releasing them with a new name, a new fancier a container. We're going to be back here in just a moment.
Okay.
Our special guest, just hang on there. Our guest has been Professor Donald Light. His book, The Risk of Prescription Drugs. Well, now we have just 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. So what are the thoughts that you would like to leave with our listeners out across America?
Well, as individual listeners, just to summarize some of...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
You must understand that you have to be responsible for your health. Let me suggest a book we carry written by our good friend Dr. Russ Blaylock, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. We have a four CD set of my interviews with Dr. Blaylock, Life-Saving Secrets. That's Life-Saving Secrets. And we carry his book, It's All About Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. That is book on natural strategies for cancer patients, because so much of cancer treatment does far more harm than good. If you want to know about effective cancer treatments, we carry the book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough, about an effective treatment that's been suppressed for many years. And you say, why would anybody want to suppress a drug that can help 65% of cancers? Well, that takes you into my talk on planned population reduction. That's planned population reduction. And then, of course, we have another a four-tape or four-CD set called The New Order of the Barbarians. It's an interview with Dr. Dunnigan, who many years ago heard the head of Planned Parenthood talking about the plan. And yes, there is a plan, and this was 1969. And he talked about how there were treatments for cancer, and they were going to keep them suppressed. And there were too many people in the world. They were going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. Oh, we actually have the transcript of this. You can get that with The New Order of the Barbarians. Ladies and gentlemen, you must understand, there really are people out there who have a different worldview. It's difficult for rational people to believe that anybody could effectively work to suppress an effective treatment for cancer. Or, as in the case of Dr. Brzezinski, try to send him to prison for 300 years. That's what they wanted to do. They spent millions of dollars to send Dr. Brzezinski to prison. Well, of course, the jury threw out the case. He was exonerated on all 75 counts. What they do with these federal things is they just throw so many things at you, just plead guilty, you know, you maybe get off with a little fine or a short period of imprisonment, but otherwise we'll put you to prison for 300 years. Well, he fought them and he won. I wonder how many people are in prison, innocent people, who, of course, didn't win. And I will tell you, there are an awful lot of them. That's why 1 in 100 Americans is in prison today. 1 of every 100 adult Americans is in prison. 1 out of every 33 men is in prison, probation, or parole today. 1 out of every 3 black men, 21 to 31, is in prison, probation, or parole. Government at work. Efficient government at work. And how many of those people are innocent? Well, we will never know. But many times they've actually had over 200 people who've gotten out of prison because there's a group of people doing the DNA analysis. And all of these people were sent to prison many times when the prosecutors really withheld evidence that should have been given to the defense. But the prosecutor never goes to prison. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got a real problem in America, and if we're going to take America back, people have to understand what it's all about. You need my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and then we do hope that many of you out there will want to come to our all-day conference on the 17th of October, right here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. That's the 17th of October. We're bringing in speakers from across America. We have Sydney. Dr. Ayub is going to be here, David is really an outstanding speaker. In fact, he's probably in demand probably as much as any speaker in America today. And we have Sheriff Richard Mack will be here. He's also in demand. Both of them are giving talks on Saturday and then coming here for the Sunday conference. Dr. Paul Williams will be here, the leading expert on the terrorist training camps in the United States. That's right, terrorist training camps in the United States. We're creating the best enemy. Money could buy. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to need a reservation. We're saving lunch. It's all day long. 1-800-544-8927. I hope you can come to the conference. And so we'll be back in just a moment, but please pray for Radio Liberty.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean white with
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of a Melody Cedarstrom of Discount Gold and Silver. And I'm going to ask our producer to pass her over to us. He's got to actually pass her to us so I can pick her up, get Melody on the line. So if Herman will simply go ahead and pass Melody over, why, we'll have her on the line here in just a moment. But suddenly, exciting things are happening. Now, I've been following gold and silver, I guess, the better part of 48 years. Herman, would you mind passing Melody over here so we can get her on the line? But certainly, if you look and see what's happening to gold, gold's been going up like a rocket. Silver's been going up like a rocket. And certainly gold closed about $1,300 and, what was it, $8 or $9 today? Where did gold end, Melody?
$1,309.
$1,309.
Delivery in December was $1,308.
And what about silver? That was certainly, what, 21, 50, 60, 70, somewhere in there?
Yes, we did get up into that range in the silver, and it doesn't seem like there's any end in sight. In fact, gold, we actually hit $1,311 and some change today. So it did hit that high mark, $1,311.20. And the high in silver today was $21.80. In fact, silver was closing $21.76. So what was amazing today about the markets was, you know, they were actually down in early morning trading. They were down in the markets open, and, you know, they opened down considerably. We had a low in gold of $12.84, and we had silver low of $21.09. And they were down there until about 10 o'clock. They came out with a couple of reports, and it turned around. The dollar fell, and gold and silver skyrocketed. So,
How far did the dollar go down?
We're looking at right now. We're looking in the aftermarket. We're looking at 78.88. So it broke down through 78.
Well, I think that people have to understand that we are, you know, certainly contrary to everything you're being told by the media, why the recession is not over. I mean, people say there's not going to be a double dip. Well, we've never gotten out of the other recession. Oh, yes, certainly the gross domestic product was up 3.5% in the first quarter. Well, certainly over in China, you know, it runs 10 to 12%, most of Asia, 8 to 10%, and we were up 3.5%. But in the second quarter of this year, we were up to 1.6%. In other words, the gross domestic product fell. What is a gross domestic product? Well, it's the summation of all the buying and selling in the country. And when you unleash trillions of dollars into the market, why, of course, should we be surprised that there would be somewhat of a response? But it hasn't got us out of the unemployment. It hasn't got people maintaining their homes. And it's all phony figures. The real problem that we have is that the fact that we've shipped so many of our jobs overseas. We've shipped about 8 million jobs overseas. We've lost another 7 million since the recession began. And little wonder that we have the unemployment rate that we have today. But the average individual doesn't understand. Those jobs are going overseas and they're not coming back again. The America we've known is not going to exist as it did before. And certainly the big banks are going right along with this scam. They're holding off on loans. They're not making the loans. And when they don't make the loans, we don't get the multiplier effect. We don't have the money just pouring out in the economy. They are intentionally toppling our economy. And it will continue to fall until we have tariffs that we can protect our industries. They have no intention of doing that. And you know, Melody, I think one of the biggest problems that we have, I don't think the average individual understands that this is all intentional. Basically, when banks lend money, they have the multiplier effect, 10 to 1, 12 to 1, 20 to 1, 30 to 1. When the banks stop making loans, why, of course, the M3 falls, and that's just exactly what's happening. And the average individual doesn't even understand what M3 is, much less understand that the Fed has stopped publishing the M3 figures because they don't want the public to know what's really going on. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And if you go back over time as far as that this is a planned agenda to bring this country to its knees, they have to do that in order to continue the globalization of all the world countries. You go back, I mean, when you can go back to the Depression, you can go back to the 20s, you can go back to the beginning of the Federal Reserve in 1913. All of this was all created. I mean, they had a plan. They knew exactly what happened with the fiat currency when you confiscate gold, and many years they close the gold and silver window, and you become a true fiat currency, not only here but around the world. They know what happens. They are historians, and they understand, and they use that to plan this, to do what they needed to do to get to this point. Once we became a fiat currency, history was written. All these things that happened just follows that path and this road to destruction, and it is amazing what is happening. You have all these fiat currencies around the world. They're all trying to keep their currencies low to support their trade. And I mean, it's like everybody's racing to push the currency to the low. Our currency is dropping like a rock. And to me, a dropping and a falling currency does not equal a strong economy or a strong nation.
Well, there was a most amazing article today. Did you see the article by Ambrose Evans Pritchard where he apologized to all the people who've been critical of him for saying that the Fed was doing a great job as far as, you know, a quantitative easing to try to get us out of the recession? Did you see his article today?
Actually, I was reading it right before I came on the program. I didn't have a chance to finish it.
Well, I'll tell you, it is the most amazing article, and maybe we could, when we get back on the air, we could talk about it, because Ambrose is certainly one of my favorite writers. I'm a little prejudiced. I had an opportunity of interviewing him a number of times when he was there with the Sunday Telegraph as the senior correspondent in Washington, D.C., and of course, we were talking at that time about the Oklahoma City bombing, Vince Foster, the murder of Vince Foster, who was having an affair with Hillary, but that's another subject. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cedarstrom. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we did have some callers in the last hour. We were talking to Professor Donald Light, but Professor Light felt very ill at ease. The first radio interview he'd ever done, he felt very ill at ease coming on, and he asked specifically for no call-in. So we did not ask for calls during the last hour. However, I'm sure Melody would not mind at all if you wanted to call in. But basically, there's so many things happening, and things are happening so rapidly today on the financial markets. And if you're not made proper preparations for going on now, or if you don't get them made in the very near future, why, it may not be possible to do it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But suddenly, Melody was just saying that she was reading the article written by Ambrose Evans Pritchard. Now, Ambrose is the senior correspondent, financial correspondent for the Sunday Telegraph in London. He was here at the in Washington, D.C., 6 or 8, 10 years ago, I guess at the time of the Oklahoma City bombing, and we spent a fair amount of time at that time. That was 1995, so 1995, 1996. So we did have a number of wonderful, wonderful interviews with Ambrose, but now he's back over there, and he's writing on financial markets, and he's certainly been very supportive of what the Federal Reserve has been doing. And he said, look, if we have a real financial crisis, there's a liquidity crisis, and rather than simply go into a deflationary depression and have everything destroyed financially, what we need to do is have quantitative easing. And he championed what the Federal Reserve was doing, and that was, of course, spending a tremendous amount of money, creating money out of nothing, to try to overcome the recession. And he was criticized by people who said, don't you understand this is a fiat money system? You can never trust the people in the central bank to do what's right. Because, of course, once they get out of the hole that they're in, they're going to continue expanding the money supply and destroy the value of our currency. Well, of course, Ambrose sort of put them into the lunatic fringe, you know, like the people who believe that somehow the government was involved in what happened in September 11th, or the government was behind the bombing of the Murrow Building in, back in 1995. But today, Ambrose Evans Pritchard apologized to all the people who had been critical of him, and he said, I am wrong. Do you want to just talk a little bit about the article, Melody, or do you know enough about it to comment?
Well, no, in fact, I guess I'm reading the wrong article. The one I was reading is The Gold is the Final Refuge Against Universal Currency Debasement. So if there's one that came out after that,
one that came out today, and it just came out actually last night, and it's out today. And basically what he says is, you know, he always thought that, you know, now certainly things are beginning to level off. The GDP has been up for 2 quarters, and then suddenly Bernanke is talking about he wants to produce inflation. He wants to do quantitative easing so that we can have some inflation. Well, of course, the last thing you want is certainly an inflation at this time when the Fed has already put, we don't know how much money out there, but probably somewhere between $8 and $12 trillion has been injected by one or another means. We don't know how much. We do know that there was this TARP bailout, and then there was the Obama stimulus bill, and then we know that the Fed was buying up Sydney CDOs, about $1.7 trillion worth of that. And, well, the economy is recovering a little bit. And of course, if you just would be patient, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years down the line, why, things would be over, and we could begin building. Certainly a lot of people are going to have to lose their developments and their homes, because they were homes that they couldn't afford, and they were commercial developments they couldn't afford, and there were businesses open that were built entirely on debt. But they're going to have to go down, and then you could begin building again and have a sound economy. But, of course, the Fed has no intention of doing that. What they're talking about, of course, is a further quantitative easing. And it really means creating money out of nothing, creating another couple of $1 trillion and putting it into the system. And, of course, Ambrose Evans Pritchard, even though he is a liberal historian, a liberal financier, and adheres somewhat to Keynes's ideas, he recognizes this is a recipe for disaster and for the collapse of the economic system, because it can lead to rampant inflation. Maybe not the Weimarization or the Zimbabweanization of our monetary system, but it certainly could mean that the value of our currency would lose two-thirds of its value, and we could get out of debt simply by paying off our debts with money that had been devalued by 60 to 70%. But that is not what provides a stable economy. And so he really concludes the article by saying, I apologize to all those people in Idaho, you know, who have their Colt 45s and their ammunition and their Kruger Grands, and they've been saying I was crazy. And they were right, and I apologize. It's really a very, very good article, written somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but a very great deal of profound information. Because, ladies and gentlemen, at this point, when the Fed is talking, and apparently almost all of the governors of the Federal Board, Open Market Committee, had agreed to just massive expansion in the monetary supply to try to stimulate, get things going in a hurry, and, of course, this is a recipe for disaster. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, if you have a question. Certainly one of the things that really bothers me, Melody, I'd like your thoughts on it. There's talk now about, well, maybe we're going to have to put up trade barriers against China because she's been taking unfair advantage. She's pegged her dollar, her yuan, to the American dollar, and so if the dollar falls, the Chinese currency falls, if the dollar goes up, their currency goes up. But this gives her an unfair trade advantage so that her goods are always cheaper than ours. Not only that, but they have all sorts of barriers in their country against our goods coming in. We do not have any barriers against their goods coming in here, and that's why our jobs are leaving, our manufacturing is leaving, and of course why so many of our companies have relocated to either China or Malaysia or to India. So we've done everything we could to destroy the industrial base of this country. And now some of the people in Congress are saying, we've got to put up trade barriers because China is taking unfair advantage of the economic system. And they're interested in helping their country, and they don't care what happens to America, and that should be so self-evident. Of course they're going to look after their country. Every country in the world looks after the stability of their country and their industrial base, except the United States, where the globalists in charge are intent upon shipping our jobs and our factories and our manufacturing and our wealth to other countries and lowering our living standards. The Chinese want to raise their living standards. It appears our leaders want to lower ours. What are your thoughts, Melody?
Well, I agree. And, you know, they have to maintain that lower currency. They have to keep their currency suppressed, because when you look at the number of people over there, and if you have factories that go bankrupt and you have, you know, all those Chinese workers, I mean, they will have the social unrest over there. Something that we should have had here, as the workers here in this country lost their jobs to overseas. There certainly should have been more outrage as far as that happening, and things should have been voiced a long time ago. So, of course, they're going to be watching and protecting their own people. China is out there. Every time any commodity dips, they're in there buying, they're in there hoarding, because they see the future, what is happening. And you can read number of reports, a number of articles saying that China really does own the U.S. as far as the currency, the amount of our currency in debt that they own. So we looked and I saw that they were, Congress is supposed to vote next week on some sort of a fair trade act. And you know, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's not going to do anything. They're going to put the tariffs on. I believe China has a little bit more room to play with the tariffs that they put on their trade, and I think you're going to have an all-out, to some degree, trade war. And I hate to say this, but I'd like to think our country could win it, and we have more say over it. But when they have a country that you know, pays their workers pennies on the dollar, and they're, you know, I think they have a little bit more room to pay this tariff. So I think we're going down this road. And but you're not just seeing it between the U.S. and China. I mean, it's everywhere. Everyone is looking to protect their trade, and that's why you're having all these currencies that are, you know, fighting to be lower, to keep it suppressed, you know, so they can fit in and they're jockeying for position for these for trade.
And I think it's what people really have to understand is that there really is an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
This is called globalization. The agenda is to transfer our jobs overseas, to outsource our jobs to other countries, to bring in people with H1N1 or H1B visas, you know, take the jobs here and lower the living standards. This is why we're allowing the illegal immigration. When you understand the agenda, it all makes sense. Otherwise, so much of what's going on doesn't make any sense. Why won't they build the wall down there, you know, to seal our southern border? Yes, you certainly would think that they would want to protect our industries, but they don't. They do not want to protect the jobs of the American workers. When you understand that, it all makes sense. And, of course, people are not unhappy because they're all getting unemployment checks. Why should they take a job at a lower wage when they can get unemployment, they get food stamps, they get free medical care, and they can get all sorts of benefits? Even if they foreclose on their house, they can probably stay in the house for a matter of several years now. The companies, banks don't want to take the property back, you know. They don't know what they could do with it. It'll get run down. They'll just as soon somebody have somebody in there. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there in the listening audience, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. What we need, what we certainly need is to have tariffs, and that would protect our industry. But they have no intention of allowing for tariffs. And this is the great problem of today. But if you have a question or comment, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest is Melody Cedarstrom from Discount Gold and Silver. And we'll be talking about the things that are going on, what can be done. And, of course, we're in for a very difficult time because our leaders have no intention of protecting our jobs or our industrial base. Well, Melody, you go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
The economy to create the dot-com bubble back in the year 2000-2001. And then, of course, the reason that that popped was because they raised the interest rates and suddenly there was a shortage of money, and then, of course, the, as with all bubbles, it burst. And then, of course, they lowered the interest rates again in between for about a year there, by 2003, while they built up the housing bubble. By getting the interest rates very low, money is very easy to borrow, and of course, again, once again, you get a great prosperity, and then in 2007, where they begin to raise the interest rates, and the bubble pops again. Now they've lowered the interest rates down to 0 to 0.25%, and we're getting another bubble, and whether that'll be the commercial property, whether it'll be the bond market, I don't know what it's going to be, but they're going to, of course, create another artificial bubble. I think it may very well be another housing bubble because the Fed now, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are making subprime loans, and some people are buying homes that they can't possibly afford. I don't know what the next bubble is going to be. What do you think, Melody?
I agree. They certainly have to create a bubble to keep things flowing for as long as they possibly can until they get positioned to, what we say it lightly, pull the plug and allow the things to fall where they might be, or maybe perhaps their plan is to allow things to fall gradually over a period of time. So I agree. I think there's several areas that could see significant problems, and I think real estate is one. I don't think we've seen the bottom yet in the real estate. There's certain areas I mentioned before in this program where I live. We really didn't have the problems in real estate for the past 2 years. Homes came on the market, homes sold. You saw a little bit of a price reduction, but not a lot. Realtors were kept busy. This year's a little bit different. I've seen more homes on the market, more homes coming on the market, and it's taken a lot longer for them to sell. Many of them are, it seems to be, their prices continue to be reduced, and there's so much inventory now that there's more homes than certainly buyers. So now we're beginning to feel the pinch in the real estate market. And I've heard from customers at various places around the country that this is also what happened in their area. They didn't see any real estate problems in the past two years, but they're beginning to see it now. So I think that's going to be a real, and you would have to think that the people that you're seeing the real estate now are the people who have better jobs and better wages, that they were able to weather, they didn't have the problems with their debt, but now they're beginning to because maybe their spouse has lost a job and or their income has been cut in half because of that. And now I think you're going to be beginning to see those areas. So I think homes is definitely one of the areas.
And I think there are an awful lot of people that are having real problems that just can't make enough money to make their payments on their homes. I had a friend of mine over this last weekend talking to him, and He's a little younger than I am, but he's having financial problems, and he's having difficulties, making the monthly payments on his home. It has a loan of about $500,000, $550,000. But he says his next-door neighbor's got a mortgage of $1 million. And he used to be making enough money to pay that. You know, when times are good, you can make the payment of maybe $8,000 a month on your home. But his neighbor can't make the payments at all now. He's just waiting to see what's going to happen. People, when times are good, will go out and borrow money with the idea that they're going to be able to make enough money to pay the loan back. Ladies and gentlemen, the old adage was you never wanted to borrow money. And people said, well, how else are you going to buy a house? But if you're going to buy a house, buy the one that you can afford, not the one that you want. If you're going to buy a car, buy the one you can afford. And get a used car. Get one with a lot of miles on it. But you know that not in too bad shape. And basically, people are going to have to start lowering their living standards. I think what people are going to understand is that we are going to live in much lower living standards. The standard of living is going to fall. It's going to fall dramatically. And that is exactly what they intend. Have you heard... what about the fact that they're not foreclosing on some mortgages? Have you heard that? That's the banks are letting people just live in the homes because they don't want to take them back and have them stand empty. Have you heard that, Melody?
Yes, I have. And, you know, something else that they're doing that I believe it's already passed or they're trying to get passed is where they'll rewrite the loan at the current rate of the value of the home. So, you know, if they were negative in their equity, it just gets written off and, you know, they get a whole nice new mortgage at a lot lower rate.
It's because the bank created the money out of nothing. They don't have any money in it at all.
Yep.
Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Melody, have you heard about this Florida judge who's actually said that the banks cannot foreclose because they can't actually produce the mortgage? They don't have the paper that shows that they have a lien on the home. A lot of them just have these collateralized debt obligations, which are part of various loans. And really, of course, what they've done is nobody knows who's actually holding the mortgage.
That's correct. I mean, all those loans were bundled up and sold, and... that was one of the legalities where I know a lot of people in the alternative area or the legal reformist and so forth were talking about. If you can't go to court if you don't know who owns your loan. You can't, you know, go through the process if you don't know who the owner of your debt is, your loan is. So lots of times it was just dismissed. So people got to stay in their homes and because it couldn't be produced.
I think one of the most interesting things that I've learned is the fact that I've always felt if you borrowed money, you had an obligation to pay it back. But the trouble is that people are not borrowing money when they buy a house. They're borrowing credit. And the credit is simply created out of nothing. And you want to buy a house for $100,000. You put up $10,000. The bank uses that to create $100,000. And that's what's used to buy the home. But all they've really got in it is the $10,000. That's all that they've got. And so basically, they don't lose anything. You know, they have to make a bookkeeping entry. But if people don't pay the money back, the bank hasn't lost anything because it was all a mirage to begin with. And the average individual doesn't understand the difference between money and credit. Have you run into this, Melody, in talking to people?
I don't think people really go into depth. I mean, the new people coming into the gold market, they just see the, you know, they now they're beginning to see the price of gold rise, and they understand that they're becoming very uncomfortable with their
investment. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Melody was just saying people coming into the gold market now for the first time are beginning to see that the whole financial structure of our society is built upon a myth. It's all built upon credit. It has nothing to do with money. The credit is what the banks create in their electronic entries, but it's not real money. What were you saying that people are beginning to express to you, Melody?
They understand that there is something wrong. They see the falling dollar. They understand what it means when you have a government that continues to print money. And they know it's not good. They see what is happening to the country, to the jobs. They're not really buying into the spin that you hear on mainstream as far as there is a recovery. And they're not buying it. And they're beginning to become concerned. Through the summer, they were kind of to the, you know, there was certainly the doldrums and coming out of and into September, the whole sentiment of buyers has really changed, and certainly a lot of new people are coming into the market as of this month, as they don't know what it is. They just have this uncomfortable feeling. It's kind of they're changing their whole investment strategy over a gut feeling, and you know they can't go into and explain what is happening. They don't know what is happening, like what we discussed on this program. It's just an intuition that they have, and they're very concerned, and perhaps it does, maybe they do understand more than they just don't express it, but it's quite interesting.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Melody, would you like to go ahead and get out your webpage, your telephone number, tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And our website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. That is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
All right, fine. And once again, the telephone number?
1-800-375-4188.
And I think people have to understand that when we talk about the economic recession, there are two parts to it. One is the contraction of the lending by the banks. The other is the globalist program of shipping our jobs overseas. They're entirely different. Shipping our jobs overseas, the program of offshoring our industries, our industries has lost about 8,000 jobs. There's been an organized effort to send our steel industry overseas, our textile industry overseas, our electronic industry overseas, and yes, our automotive industry overseas. And they did that by making inferior cars, intentionally making inferior cars, so that, of course, people would rather have a Japanese car or a German car because they would last so much longer. This was done intentionally because, of course, the Chrysler and Ford and General Motors are all in cahoots with this whole globalist movement. When you understand that, you can understand what's happening, because Ford and Chrysler and General Motors are all moving their production facilities overseas, but they can't tell the American people that. In addition, there's an organized effort to transfer our automotive industry, agricultural industry overseas. And you notice now when you buy an apple, where was it grown? Well, it may be grown in New Zealand, maybe grown in China, maybe grown in Chile, but you're not going to see a lot of apples grown in the United States. Why? Because we're intentionally shipping our agriculture overseas. And, of course, they, of course, want to ship our, certainly our oil production overseas. That's why Obama, President Obama, he wants to get these jobs done. And yet he's put a moratorium not only on the deep water drilling, he's put a moratorium on shallow water oil well drilling. Now, of course, he hasn't got a moratorium. You just can't get a permit. I mean, they used to get a permit in 3 weeks. You know, now they're just not issuing the permits for the shallow water drilling. So basically, the rigs are sitting there empty down. They're just not allowed to do anything off down in the Gulf. They hope they're going to be able to get the permits later. They hope they're going to lift the moratorium on deep water drilling. Why would they have done that? Ladies and gentlemen, because they want to be oil dependent upon other countries. They really want to get us to stop using oil and coal and natural gas. They really want to take us into green power because it'll be so much more expensive. And the cost of electricity will be so much more expensive that the average individual won't be able to afford it, and they'll have to stop using the electric lights so much and air conditioning and electric heat and all the other things. And if they have an electric car, it'll be so expensive they won't be able to plug it in or go any distance. They want to limit our activity. When you understand Agenda 21, which is the master plan for everything going on, everything makes sense. They don't want us to be oil independent. They don't want us to use hydrocarbons. They want us to use green energy, which will drive the cost of electricity up to so what's high levels you're not going to be able to afford it. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you haven't read Agenda 21, you need to get it. We do have the United Nations, the official United Nations Agenda 21. We have the Santa Cruz County Agenda 21. We have the Earth Charter. We have the Global Biodiversity Assessment. They're all available from Radio Liberty. You need to read the master plan. It is available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Well, Melody, has there been, certainly with this run-up of gold over this last few weeks, has there been much of an increase in your business?
It's beginning to pick up. As I mentioned earlier, we're getting a lot of new buyers into gold that have really popped up for the last couple of weeks. We've just come out of the summer doldrums, and you have Europe that's on vacation basically July and August, and we usually get a little bit of a backup in material, like in the $20 gold pieces. Our inventory increases because a lot of that product comes from Europe, and when they're down for 2 months, you just have a backup of buildup of supplies. So we're just about through that inventory, and I think you'll begin to see prices begin to move with the gold pieces and along with the spot price of gold. We show, I'm looking at gold in the aftermarket trading. It looks like it's up almost another $3 at $13.12, along with silver moving up 12 cents at $21.88. So it looks like gold's going to continue its strength overnight, and we'll have to see. I guess 1332 is the first level to where they could find a little bit of resistance. So it is really amazing what gold is doing, but you know, unfortunately, we have to look at the reasons why gold is going up. And as the higher prices, it's certainly not to cheer for higher prices. I've often tell my customers I'd rather see it at a lower price than have my country back. And the higher the price gold rises, the more difficult our country and our finances are becoming. So that is the downside to high prices of gold, but at least you can find comfort in your investment and your decision as far as protecting your wealth and protecting your family.
Well, I think people have to really understand that what is going on is aimed at destroying the industrial foundation of this country, but even more than that, destroying the monetary structure of this country and destroying the value of our currency. And there's no way, better way to demoralize a nation than to destroy the value of its currency. And yet that's exactly what they're doing. And it's not that these people in the banks are stupid. They're not. But they are all, and you can get the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness from my ministry. We have it published, or you can collect it all on your own, whatever easiest for you. But we get the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, and you'd be amazed at how many of our major banks, and not only in this country, but in Israel and in Canada, are members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. Now, you say, why would the Bank of Israel have anything to do with the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission? Well, this is where the real power is, and the president of the Bank of Israel, the president of the Bank of Canada, are among the 87 members of the North American chapter, along with the CEO of Goldman Sachs, the CEO of Citigroup, and, of course, two of the three large banks in America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon was a member of the Trilateral Commission, so they're all in on the scam, but the average individual has no idea what's happening. You need to find out if I'm telling you the truth. Maybe it's not true. Maybe you've got nothing to worry about. Maybe this is just all the rantings of conspiracy theory. But if there really is a small little group that's running things from behind the scenes, why don't you think you need to know? And don't you think others need to know? And don't you think you need to protect yourself and your family before they do to you what they did to the people of Zimbabwe, where our American State Department put Mugabe into power, a Marxist thug trained in Red China, and he has destroyed the value of every individual in Zimbabwe. Half of the people have already fled, and the rest of them are living in abject poverty. And, of course, the military, which is being financed with your tax money, ladies and gentlemen, in the name of humanitarian aid, of course, the military and the police are raping and pillaging the people who live there, who live in constant fear. And, of course, in absolute deprivation with no medicine and one of the greatest human tragedies of all time. And isn't it amazing how infrequently they mention that here in the United States, especially the fact that this was brought about by Henry Kissinger and the American State Department? Well, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. Could that happen in America? Well, if they would do it over there, and the American people weren't concerned, why would the American people think anybody should be concerned if something similar happened in America? And, of course, this is the great tragedy. Men and women do become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, telephone number locally, 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment about what is happening. Melody, certainly as you're talking to other people across America, and I know you do your own radio program and you're talking to people, what is their impression? Do you think they really understand that this is not happening by accident, but is happening by intent?
I think they think it's more of circumstance. I really don't believe they think of it that it is done intentionally. I have my buyers that have been with me for a very long time. Of course, they understand, and people who've been listening to the program for more than a year, of course, they're beginning to understand. But newcomers into the market and newcomers that just are catching on, I don't believe they believe that it is being done intentionally. I think it's just by circumstance, and I think they realize the power and the greed involved, but do they see it as an evil? No, I don't think they see it as that way.
Well, it's because you have Bob Chapman on there. How often do you have Bob with you?
We do a program 3 days a week, and we've been doing programs together now for, I guess, over 6 years, and time certainly flies. It's amazing what has happened in 6 years, and so people... Bob has a wonderful way of expressing and educating people as yourself, Dr. Stan. You two have done so much to educate people. And
Bob really has a grasp of what's going on, and he can present this, and he presents it very well. And
yes,
he understands that this is being done. This is not an accident. They really want to bring down our economic system. And if you look at it from that point of view, it's really people. Eventually, they reject that idea, and then as they think about it for a while and see what's happening, they begin to understand. I think Bob does a great job of presenting the information.
Absolutely, he does. And I have been very thankful and blessed to spend the 6 years doing programs with him for 3 days a week. And he certainly has brought, I've been doing this for, 16 years, and I've been aware of the various groups and scenarios and so forth, but there isn't a week goes by that I, or a day goes by that I don't learn something new. So there's things that are, things are unfolding quite rapidly, and it's great to have someone to turn to.
Well, I think we're just lucky that we do have a small group. In fact, I had a gentleman, James Corbett. He was our guest last Friday night, as I remember. And he's stationed over in Japan. He writes a newsletter from over there. But he interviews Bob on a monthly basis on publishes his material in his newsletter. So Bob's information is getting out so widely. And really, this is encouraging to me. It was on, apparently, he was on Greek television this last week, or Greek radio or television nationwide program, and this is how information is disseminated. Now, is your program predominantly shortwave? Is it on radio stations or what?
We're predominantly shortwave and internet. We post the archives on the radio pages at the website, and there's various streaming from the radio stations, the shortwave stations coming off the air. We're looking to try to expand maybe into some AM and so forth, but it's amazing how people will download and send around their MP3. I don't even know what an MP3 is. I'm when it comes to computers and high tech, that I am not. But they download it and they post it and they pass it around, and I think that's fantastic. Just like people should download your programs and any programs that will help educate people and copy them and spread them around.
Well, basically the best thing you can do for somebody is to explain to them what's going on. Because if they look at it as everybody else does, why, they're probably going to end up being impoverished for the rest of their life and spend their twilight years just wondering how they're going to survive from month to month. People of you who have done what we've suggested, and not because we're very, very smart, it's because we've studied history and we know what's going on, and we've read the things that very, very smart people have put out, and people like Richard Russell and Sidney, Harry Schultz over there in Switzerland's been writing ever since I can remember. I think 45 years ago. I think he must be about 90 now. I think he's going to cut back on his regular newsletter, but he's been saying the same things we're saying as well. People have to understand that there is an organized effort to destroy the industrial capacity of our nation. Melody, would you like to get your telephone number and your webpage out one more time?
Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
And of course, Melody does a great job, and certainly she's been doing this for a long time. And certainly, we've never had one complaint at all from the large numbers of people who've gone to her. And of course, you need somebody you can really trust. And in this day and age, there are a lot of sharks out there in the water. Be very careful how you invest. But don't sit back. If you're going to move now, because believe me, gold and silver are running. Well, Melody, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Yes, if anybody would like information on...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
To people who believe in what we're doing, who keep us on the air, and we do have about 60 outlets every week, and that's our weekend program, goes to 33 stations, and we did pick up a new program down in Southern California that I think three times a week carries our program for an hour. So if you'd like, of course, to help us, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then, of course, if you'd certainly be, hope you're thinking very seriously about coming to our all-day conference. It's going to be on the 17th of October. It looks like we're going to have a great turnout. We're bringing in key people from across the country to talk on various subjects. So if you'd like to come, and our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Now, we have to have reservations because we have to have lunch ordered, so you're going to have to let us know this week or next week. And, of course, bring a friend or a couple of friends. I think it's important we get as many people as we can. And, of course, there's going to be all sorts of books there. Michael Shaw have a couple of tables on Agenda 21. We'll have all of our books and DVDs and VCRs and certainly our tape sets and our CD sets and so much information that you'll need. Our pamphlets will be there. You need to have this information. You need to, anything we have made, you're welcome to copy. And as long as you're not making a profit on it, get it out to others. Your job is to help us get the information out. And there's no better way to do it than to get copies of these various things, to read them through several times, to be careful lending them to your friends, make sure you get them back again, and just keep after them till you get them back again. You want to get the information out because the best thing you could do for somebody is to let them understand what's going on. Most people, I fear, are going to be destroyed before this is over. Unfortunately, why, of course, we're in for some very, very difficult financial times. And basically, they're going to erode the value of our currency. They're going to continue shipping our jobs overseas. They're going to continue outsourcing our jobs to India or to other nations. In fact, the Obama administration recently gave $23 million to a company over in India for what? To teach the Indians how to speak better English so they can take our jobs. Now, why would the Obama administration be doing that? I thought they were trying to get jobs here in America. And you must understand, they don't want jobs here in America. They want jobs over in India. They want jobs in China. They want jobs in Korea and Malaysia and Russia and Brazil and Mexico and Argentina. And the whole idea is to shift our industrial production and our jobs overseas. Why would they do that? It has to do with the Earth Charter. It has to do with this idea of equitable distribution of wealth between nations. If you have not yet read the Earth Charter, you can get it from Radio Liberty. You can get it on the Internet. Read point 10A. Now, if you really need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and you need to get my talk on the planned population reduction, on the planned police state, on the financial Armageddon, and our latest talk on the specter haunting America. That's the planned police state, basically the specter haunting America, the planned population reduction. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And of course, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to coming to the all-day conference on the 17th of October, right here on the north shore of Monterey Bay at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. So give us a call. If you can come, bring a friend. I think you'll learn a great deal. But the